We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown!
Hello and welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm joined as always by Sean Siegel, one of the co-owners at RotoViz. We're also joined by one of our favorite guys. We talk about him a lot on the show in terms of the wrong read. It is Blair Andrews. Make sure you're following Blair on Twitter if you're not already doing so. He is at Am I the Real Blair. We did start going through kind of a recap, breaking down the draft board from what we thought would have happened if we changed some of our selections in the FFPC best ball tournament draft that we did. After going through it, there wasn't a huge amount of things that we would have changed, but we are now starting to look ahead to this week. We're not going to count any placed finishes at this point, but this is where we drafted to hopefully get towards, and we've got one ticket in that 12-team final. So as things stand, I'll let Blair go first again, but what's your hopes and expectations as we head into week 17?
I'm pretty hopeful. I think we have a strong team. We mentioned in the first episode, one of the few Jonathan Taylor teams that was able to withstand his 10-point outing. So we've got that going for us. You mentioned off air that we're the only team that has DJ Moore, the only team with Elijah Moore, and the only team with Rondale Moore. So if we can have just
the trifecta assembles
bonanza, then we'll be golden.
Same question to you, Sean. What's the feeling? I'm sure Sean will be pretty relaxed. He'll be watching the games, rooting for opponent players, like he mentioned on the Tuesday edition. As long as we'll just make sure that we don't root for the opponent's players, we'll be good this week.
Well, number one, I'm going to be rooting for Connor's team. It's absolutely incredible. He's done a fantastic job with that. And it's so cool to have a RotoViz writer as one of the other 11 members of this group. This is a real murderer's row. You go through some of the names, and I'm going to end up not mentioning everybody, and that's not meant as a slight to any of the people that I don't mention. But, we're going to have Michael Leone on later in the week. You have Henry Muto here. We've got the Jungle Cats, which is a team that I'm in some FFPC Dynasty Leagues with. Great owners there. We have Cocktails and Dreams, and anytime that you see that name in your group and you've got Chad in there, obviously that strikes fear into all of the hearts. So it's interesting to have people approaching it from a lot of different directions, and I'm excited to see how it plays out. This is a great group. I mean, I wish we could all win, right? But it's going to come down to one of us, and we do have a pretty good team. It'll get better. I mean, I would feel better about it. We talked that the weakness of the team in the first episode. Is it wide receiver? And it'd be great if some of our guys play. We've been, you know, relatively lucky with health, which obviously always plays a role. It's hard to make it to this point and not have had that. We do have some Dalvin Cook teams through, so it'll be interesting to track that throughout the week. The one sort of regret that I have, and it's not a regret that we made the draft pick, but listeners from the very beginning of the year know that our guy for 2021 was KJ Hamler, and he is on this team, and I feel like it's a good sign, right? He didn't score any points for us, but it's like his ability to get people through, even when he's on the IR, has been fantastic. You have KJ Hamler, you can't lose.
I'm just trying to figure out how to continue on there. I'm actually just checking with Hamler. We must be the only Hamler team as well, are we?
We're not.
So 16, there's 12 teams, 16% of them, just short of 17%, have KJ Hamler. Has to be, you know, the win rate. There has to be a correlation there to the win rate at the end of the season.
We're not the only team with KJ Hamler, and there are actually two other teams that have Dyami Brown in the final 12. So some good Rotoviz representation, even on non-Rotoviz teams.
It's kind of funny. I mentioned in the first show that I was actually rooting for CeeDee Lamb on Sunday night. But the other player I was rooting hard for was Dyami Brown, and he catches the long bomb. It's like, this is what we were in for all season. He's caught this pass. Washington has absolutely nothing going on. They can't get the ball to Terry McLaurin. And we don't want to blame it all on Terry McLaurin, who is getting horrible quarterback play and a lot of defensive attention. But it's been a while since Terry McLaurin went up and made a catch where you felt like he had really done his part of it. He looks demoralized, right? So you actually contrast that a little bit with what DJ Moore is doing, and it makes DJ Moore look even better because they're getting equally poor quarterback play. Terry McLaurin has gotten to the point where, I mean, you wouldn't be playing him in any format if you had the option here. So he makes the big catch, and then like every play the rest of the game is Brown on the field. And then they go to the backup quarterback, they go to the scrubs, and you're like, even now, he's in a low snap share. What are they doing? Do they not want to develop Brown for next season? And so that was just when he did catch one other ball in traffic. I mean, it almost feels like the three teams that have Brown are going to be the top three in the end. I was going to say the three finalists, but obviously there's no advancing to the next round. It's going to be the ranking 1 through 12. Is Brown set for a 25-point game in the fantasy finals here, Blair?
I think so. I think, like you said, they saw all they needed to see in the game against the Cowboys. They didn't want to risk injury, so they kept him on the sidelines, waiting for his explosion in Week 17.
Exactly. Yeah, keep him fresh for that Week 17 game. Yeah, no, but it was nice to see him make that catch. But like Sean mentioned, that's kind of what we were hoping for throughout the season. But who knows? Last week, I believe it may have been the only team with him, so it was going to help, or certainly with the teams who were challenging for the top three. So it would have helped us. But yeah, nice to see him get that catch. It's interesting too to see some of the players. We did mention KJ Hamler, but to see some of the other players that are not going to be available that have advanced in terms of percentage of roster. So there's Leonard Fournette was on 33% of the rosters. He is on the injured reserve, and we have James White in there on 25% of the rosters. Giovanni Bernard is on two teams as they progress, one of them being ours. But there's quite a few names in there who may not have an impact. And obviously Fournette was somebody who was a juggernaut for people who drafted him throughout the season, but those teams will be hurting quite a bit. And, you know, we talked a lot about roster construction and how things were set up in the last episode, and when we're looking through some of these teams, there will be some teams that are a little bit light. We're a little bit light on wide receiver, as Sean mentioned, but I think there's some teams at tight end and at running back, if things don't go exactly as they need, they could be in a little bit of trouble this week. But we've been in that boat for a couple of weeks at wide receiver, and like Sean mentioned on the last show, we had running backs in those flex spots this past week. But to be honest, Sean, we've joked about it a number of times on the show, and we've like said different things, but Rashad Penny has really set us up over the last 2 weeks here. And he now is like, you know, he has to be the lead back here for the Seahawks as they get ready to finish off the season. But they get the Lions this week, which in terms of matchups that you're hoping to have success from, that looks to be a pretty good spot. He is, though, on three of the remaining roster. So not a huge percentage, but he feels to me like somebody who could be a big factor this week. Another player who could be a factor, and funnily enough, these two guys, Jonathan Taylor's our main guy, but Devin Singletary and Taylor, all those three guys on three separate rosters. So they're kind of where I think that Singletary and Penny could be big game changers for us this week.
And Penny is on both Chad's team and Todd's team. Blair, how do you see the running back position influencing what happens in the final week? What do we need to see happen? What do you expect to see happen in terms of how these rosters break down?
Yeah, that's a good question. The running back position seems to be where there's the most kind of variability in terms of who's rostered on what teams. So I think it could have the potential to be the biggest difference maker. So if you see Jonathan Taylor have a good week and, Dalvin Cook not coming off of the COVID list, then that obviously would boost some teams to the top and hurt other teams. I mean, you know, by contrast, I think Mark Andrews is on 11 out of the 12 teams. So there are some positions where it's much harder to differentiate yourself from the pack. But running back looks like it could be key this week.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener. This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast. And I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio21. That's RVRadio21. And you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another player who we don't have, but I talked about Fournette. Another sort of player who feels like they could be a big game changer this week is Ronald Jones on just one roster. They get the Jets this week. So there's some interesting players that I think, you know, big breaks, a bit like we mentioned with Penny there, that things have really broken the right way for them over the last couple of weeks. Sean, anything that you're looking at that you see that could be vital to our chances of success?
Well, I think we need Javonte Williams to go off, right? I mean, he needs to be the guy who jumps out there and gets us a 20-plus point game and differentiates from some of these other teams that have some of the overlap for us, where, you know, if we're carrying Rashad Penny and, you know, that brings Chad into the equation with a Najee Harris, Damian Harris situation, you know, we'll obviously be tracking Damian Harris's touchdown. So he puts up three more this week. That won't be good for us. Todd has Joe Mixon and Kareem Hunt, who has been activated again for this game. He's got James Conner, which our favorite player really of the season. He's got Josh Jacobs. I mean, his team is built through the running back position. And then to get Penny there as the late round guy as well. There's a lot of firepower. And so every time the Bengals get down there in the red zone, it's going to be a big potential swing. We need to have those touchdowns go to the receivers and perhaps even preferably CJ Uzomah. If we could have a big Burrow to the tight end game this week and avoid all of these other Bengals skill players who are represented and are so good, that would be helpful for us. Another massive Joe Burrow game could really put us in position. Now, there is, funnily enough, another Burrow Jonathan Taylor team. And so I wouldn't mind going head to head with the Muzio Cervino team down the stretch for the championship. They obviously have Ja'Marr Chase. So that's going to make it a little bit more difficult there with Burrow. We need it to be another Burrow to Higgins if we have Burrow and Jonathan Taylor both go off. So I think from that perspective, looking at kind of some of these other teams, we have a Javonte Williams team with Antonio Gibson, with Dalvin Cook. Obviously, the situation there in Washington has made it a little bit trickier for Gibson to score. Now he made a beautiful catch and touchdown scamper in the last game. If they can stay competitive, which at this point is getting difficult for Washington, then Gibson has a chance to get a lot more points in there. He was obviously taken out in garbage time last week. And then obviously the situation there with Dalvin Cook and the vaccination status and how that plays into whether or not he will be available is a big difference. So we'll kind of see how that part of it does develop. But we're going to need some running back points. That's just the way that our particular team is set up. I think that the hardest part, maybe the time, I don't know, the most angry, maybe the most frustrated I was this last week, is that we have this Broncos Raiders game where at this point, the Raiders have lost so many players and are so depleted that it really felt like this was the chance for the Broncos, especially we had seen them the previous week hang right in there with the Bengals till the end. Now, we know that every week in the NFL is different. It's especially different when teams maybe have a quarter of their players rotating in and out because they're not available due to COVID. And so you can't just look, and you never were able to. And we know that these games are going to play out differently. You're going to have turnovers that make things play out differently. You're going to have, I mean, everything really cascades from some of those early high leverage plays. But the Bengals have been so competitive with, I mean, the Broncos have been so competitive with the Bengals the previous week. I mean, it really looks like the Bengals are good. Although, you know, 1 week Joe Burrow will look like a Hall of Famer, much to the chagrin of the Baltimore coaching staff. And the next week you're like, I mean, he's just getting sacked all the time and, you know, they punt. You watch what the Broncos had done and you felt like they were going to come out and really take it to Las Vegas and get in a situation here where Williams and Melvin Gordon could score some points. Maybe Drew Lock with his more vertical approach would make a big play or two. I thought that the Broncos had a great shot in this game. They looked awful. Maybe the funniest thing that I've heard in a long time is they're like halfway through the game and they're showing the different stats and like Melvin Gordon, 6 carries for 0 yards. And the color man just very deadpan says, that is frustrating. And so that seems like the slogan for the Denver Broncos season, right? That is frustrating. What was frustrating for me is that they get the ball within one score, like 6 minutes to go, they haven't moved it. Melvin Gordon has done absolutely nothing. And Melvin Gordon is the back on the field for the most crucial drive of their season. I mean, you watch all of this stuff throughout the year and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, they've got two good guys. Melvin Gordon is good, right? I mean, he's a well above average NFL running back. You know, you want to maintain health for both players. You know, you can keep them both fresh throughout the game. They're probably not a Super Bowl contender this season. You want Javonte Williams fresh for 2022 when you think that you can make a run, you can win the whole thing. You don't want to run him down or get him hurt this season. But if there were ever a point where you were going to emphasize him in 2021, it was that drive and he was not on the field. It's like, what are these people doing? And so from that perspective, I have some trepidation about how week 17 will go and if he will get enough touches to really have the upside we need to win the whole thing through him, because again, I mean, he's just a very crucial piece.
Yeah, the one thing, actually looking back on how last week went, the interception that Derek Carr threw that was, you know, tackled at the 1 yard line that led to that Javonte Williams rushing touchdown was, and the end up was what squeezed us kind of over the line. So we got a little bit lucky there based on how the rest of the game played out for the Broncos. But I think, Sean, in the off season, I think we will probably have to have some therapy sessions based on the amount of time we talked about the Denver Broncos this year. It's been tough to watch, especially when we're rooting for some of those guys. Blair, in terms of some of the higher owned guys, so Mark Andrews, we'll rule him out. He's on every roster outside of Mike Leone's roster, so he's on 11 teams. Any of those guys at the top, obviously Fournette is out, so that's not going to affect things for us, but it is going to drop those teams down one running back. Any of those guys at the top end, so we have Baker Mayfield, Samuel, Devontae Adams, Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, like, is this the week that we see anything from Ben Roethlisberger, that he becomes the hero of the day?
Oh man, I don't think so. And I even think that if you're a Deebo Samuel owner, you're probably a little bit worried about the Garoppolo news. But yeah, I think it's probably, well, I mean, it would obviously help us if Devontae Adams played well, even though he's on three other teams. But I don't necessarily see a lot of these high-owned guys being guys that you had to have, except for possibly Mark Andrews. So, yeah, I think this could make for a really interesting final week where you don't necessarily see one guy being a must roster, or at least you don't see any of the high owned guys being a must roster player.
Yeah, I think that's what'll make it such a fun week. Is there is a couple of guys there. So Samuel, as I mentioned, with five teams, Adams with four teams. But it feels like then, like, outside of those two guys, and then it's those four quarterbacks that I mentioned, Roethlisberger and Mayfield, but then you have Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. So Mayfield on five and the other three guys on three rosters. But then you do have some guys that may not factor then among some of the other higher owners. So like Dami Brown, we mentioned, is on three rosters. We have James White, who's on injured reserve on three rosters. So there's a lot of bits and pieces like that. So really, there isn't a huge amount of guys on more than two rosters, which I think is going to make it quite unique in terms of how the final parts rule out. So we have Mark Andrews, who we and 10 other teams have. That may mean that if he goes off, that those teams are just at a level playing field at that point. But I think it's going to get really interesting then as to, even with teams who we may have a correlation of, you know, two to three players, after that, then it's going to be a completely unique lineup, which I think makes it very interesting. It's not going to be a case where two teams have just one different player. There's going to be multiple different players and different scenarios. So I think that was my fear kind of going in, that if you go up against, you know, if there was 11 Cooper Kupp teams and we were the team without Cooper Kupp, I'd be worried about that. But I think it's going to be a pretty open contest this week, which is going to be super fun. Sean, is that the way you kind of see it as well?
I think so. There really is a lot of variety. We've got a couple of Tyreek Hill teams, even though obviously he didn't do anything this last week. It is an interesting situation at tight end where you say it probably would be helpful if Mark Andrews scores a bunch. That would give us the edge on Mike. It is a situation where we're kind of going into this needing, even though there's so much Mark Andrews, we need the rest of the NFL tight ends to not do very well. We talk so much about how tight end really determines these best ball leagues, right? And you have Chad's team has Travis Kelce on top of Mark Andrews. And so obviously Kelce didn't play last week, but he gets through there. And you have a situation where both of those guys could be in the lineup. I mean, you're looking at in the first week of the playoffs here, right? They had the combined for, you know, 70 plus points. If that happens again, it'll be unfortunate. You have some teams here with Dalton Schultz. He is the guy with Kittle on Mike's team. He also is on some of the Mark Andrews teams. You could easily see him going into the flex spot. There is Hunter Henry through with Connor's team. You have a team with Gronkowski and Kyle Pitts in addition to Mark Andrews. You have teams with Dawson Knox and Tyler Higbee in addition to Mark Andrews. And so there are some situations here where, I mean, tight end beyond Andrews could actually still be the key, because you put up massive points to the tight end position. You get those points into the flex. It helps you deal with some issues here on running back. Now, a lot of the teams that have made it through, obviously, are the very best teams. And so we're not looking at the situation that we were as much in weeks 14 and 15, where some of the teams that had made it through had lost a lot of their guys, you know, kind of right at the end, or had a lot of guys go on the list right at the end. And so you do have some softer opponents. Now, it's very week to week with this, but we do have to take maybe some consolation from the fact that we were in one of the highest scoring individual leagues last week, and we made it out of that. A kind of an unfortunate little situation. One of the guys in our league was frustrated by how many Mark Andrews teams. Now, obviously, Mark Andrews was heavily represented overall, but he was even more heavily represented in our 12-team league. And then he did finish fourth, barely missing. And it essentially came down to that Tyler Boyd, not exactly drop, but not touchdown catch at the end, which it's a little tricky just to do all of it without going down to the decimal points you would need. But I think if Tyler Boyd catches that, we still actually get through because of the points it adds to Burrow. But it would have made the battle for second place basically with three teams tied for second or within like a point and a half. And so, you know, how it would have played out if that catch had happened, you know, would have been interesting as well. But to have one of the higher scoring teams and a team who would have made it in a bunch of the other leagues not get through, I mean, that's always one of those things where it's sort of the beauty of this format, where you have the 11 other teams that you're rooting against that week, and you know it's your league you have to get through. It's also the thing where if you had a good team and you didn't get through, I mean, you can't help but be frustrated, right? I mean, you know the situation going in, you know it's randomly generated, you know what you have to do is beat your other 11 teams or nine of them, but I mean, that's still hard. So anyway, we get to the final week here. The rosters look very, very good, and we're going to put up some points. Blair, how many points do we need to, number one, finish first, and number two, to finish in the top three? Are we going to need 230? It kind of feels like we're going to need 230.
I mean, based on Connor's team, I think we're going to need about 230 to beat him, because he's just loaded. It's going to take a big score. I think all of the teams in this final week are pretty scary. So even to finish top three, I think you need to put up a pretty big number.
Yeah, I think it feels like top three. And we've seen some weeks recently where some of the big names don't hit, and, you know, those teams score a lot less. I think it might have been week 14, was it, where we kind of had a very low scoring week, or week 15. But in terms of how that could be the way it plays out, but it does feel like with the rosters that are here and what have been the final, it feels like, you know, it's going to be 180 plus to have any chance to get in those top three spots, and then see how it plays out there. But it's going to be interesting. The other thing I was just looking at there as we talk, this week we don't have a Thursday night game. We have all the games on Sunday, bar the Packers, Vikings is Sunday night football, and then the Steelers, Browns is Monday night football. So we're going to have a Sunday night football is going to be an interesting watch with the Rodgers Adams stack, and obviously then we'll see if Cook gets activated. We'll have Justin Jefferson teams in the mix. It's going to be a very interesting finale. But then we also, and look, Baker Mayfield hasn't had huge games as of late, but he is on 41% of the roster. So that Monday night football game, and he's facing off against Ben Roethlisberger, which will be three of the teams as well. So things will come down to the wire this week. Sometimes you get the games wrapped up and it's nice and relaxing on Monday, but this one, no matter what, is going to play out to the wire. So looking forward to it. Wish both of the guys the best of luck, more so to give myself more luck in this week's contest. But hopefully we can come out in the prize section of it, and I'm really looking forward to it. Any final words, guys, before we do wrap up?
Well, I was just noticing that you mentioned that Sunday night football game. Justin Jefferson is only on one team, and it's Connor's team. So if it comes down to...
it's a Roto-Viz showdown on Sunday night football.
So that could be a really interesting game to pay attention to.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool all around, I think. And it was actually Connor's team that got off to a real fast-paced start last Thursday, with AJ Brown and Debo Samuel. So we'll see any teams get off to really hot starts this coming week. But it's good as well that all the games last week, we kind of had it split between Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and Saturday, sorry, as well. So it was a long kind of stretch, but this week we'll be wrapping it up on the normal, or a shorter week, kind of the normal in terms of where the games are spread out. Sean, anything to add before the end?
Just AJ Brown on Connor's team there comes in just at the right time to give him a huge boost. He is on Chad's team also, and so it could be Connor and Chad battling for the top spot there for us this week. You know, Monday Night Football, it sounds to me like this is the week that Jarvis Landry puts up 35 points. I mean, I feel like we're going to be in a position where we have 20s across the board. We need something big like a 30 to really change the team, because the lineup will already be strong. But then Jarvis Landry comes out of nowhere, 10 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. The best I could do, even in my ludicrous scenario, was like 26 points there. So we'll look for 26 from Jarvis Landry. And
we'll get him slotted, get him into the flex though, and we'll settle for 26 points in the flex if we can get it. I think if our flex players have 26 points this week, we could be in a pretty good scenario.
We should do all right. It was interesting watching that Browns game last week, where Landry was involved early, and then at one point, I believe Baker Mayfield threw an interception targeted at him, but about 15 yards over his head. Then they stared at each other like it was the other person's fault. Landry probably trying to figure out how he could have caught a ball that far over his head, but I'm sure that Baker Mayfield did want him in a different spot. He wasn't as involved after that, to my recollection, but hopefully they will be on the same page for Monday Night Football. You always have to like Jarvis Landry. He's going to get out there, lay some real blocks, and that good karma probably take us over the top. The other thing, just good luck to the 11 other members of the group. If you've gotten here, obviously you've had a great season. It's interesting to see the different constructions. There are lots of ways to play it. There are some ways that give you a real edge in terms of the structure. But within that, I mean, so many varieties. And, you know, we love to see people play it in different ways. Not everybody has to play it our way. And this last week should be a lot of fun. So good luck to everybody. And I'm excited. It should be just an absolute blast to track as we go through this week 16.
Yeah, it's like it's been a lot of fun to get to this point. Anything moving forward is a bonus on top of that. So hopefully we get a nice big first place bonus. would be nice at the end of it.
Colin is excited just to be nominated, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just that's my, you know, sometimes when I'm in a couple of dynasty leagues with friends, and the common thing every week is that you tell the person that you're facing that it's now yours to lose. And then so usually the karma then takes that back and you end up on the winning side. So hopefully that's what I was trying to do there, but we'll see how it plays out. But we will be back with another show, another two shows this week, one with Michael Leone of Established a Run. We'll be talking a little bit about his team. We mentioned him a few times over the last two episodes. He is the one team that does not have Mark Andrews on the roster, so we'll be talking through that with him. Stay tuned for that. That will be Thursday's edition of the podcast. We'll also have our Saturday show coming out as well then to seal things off. I did post the full of this draft up on the Road of His Radio main feed. If you want to head back and check that, it posted on Monday. Have a listen through as we made those selections live on the clock. As always, as a loyal podcast listener as well, you can save yourself 15% off a Road of His Radio subscription. Sean mentioned on the last episode that will be running through the new year as it lands here in a couple of days. So get in, get yourself that, save yourself 15%. The normal discount that we've had throughout the year is 10%, so a little bit extra on top of that. Get yourself set up for the 2022 season. We will have you all the way through the draft, the dynasty off season, into the season, and you'll have all the tools that we use for our best ball drafts to try and navigate to a situation like we're in now, where we make it to the best ball final over at the FFPC. So once again, that code is RBRadio2021. Add that at checkout or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for further information.
And Colin, just a little extra teaser there with Blair on the show, kind of using those tools. He and I played like 8 leagues together. I think we had multiple teams blow way past 200 this week. I think we had a team score like 240. and we're going to win three of those and finish second.
Only 240 points.
Only 240. We're going to win three, finish second in one. And so number one, as you can tell from this show, always good to draft with Blair, always good to read Blair. Make sure you get in there. And your subscription will be paid back easily by reading the wrong read throughout the season. But Blair and I did a lot of work with the best ball stuff last year and drafted our own teams based on that. And those teams did what, I mean, you're not going to finish quite at that win rate every season, obviously, but that's how it has come out through the years. You give yourself a huge advantage. You look through and the win rate edge that you get by making the right structural choices is gigantic. And so we don't just write about it. We play it and the results are there. And so we encourage you, if you have interest in it, to check that out. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Yeah. And just to put Blair on the spot, best wrong read for people to go and read if they're picking one. Have you something that's the one that you tell people to go and check out first?
Oh man, that's a good question. I guess the very first one and go right through.
Start at number one and work your way through. But yeah, for long-time listeners of the podcast, they'll have heard me or Sean talk with them each and every time they come out. Always fantastic. So I would recommend, like Sean said, they're heading over and checking that out. I was telling you before we started recording that after I knew the results of the Sunday night games, I went back and watched that episode with yourself and Hassan on the Road of His Report. I guess that would be a good time to give a shameless plug to the listeners. I know it usually tails off as we get to the end of the season, but even looking ahead to next season, any plans you guys have for the Road of His Report?
So we've had, I guess, our last kind of official episode already, since this week is the last real fantasy week, but we are going to be entering some FFPC playoff challenge teams with the guys from Ship Chasing and probably recording at least one show with them over the coming weeks. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we'll probably be doing some off-season stuff as well. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, usually probably that would be a better plug to do in week one rather than as we enter week 17. But no, I would highly recommend checking out anything the guys put out.
Yeah, if you want to win the FFPC playoff contest, get in there with Blair, Hassan, and the Chip Chase. I mean, they'll get you all set, right? I mean, if they don't win the whole thing themselves, it'll probably be a listener. We've had fantastic listener results. We're going to mention it on a future show. But so, Colin, one of our listeners and the winner of our Scott Fishbowl contest obviously not only got into the Fishbowl, but has done extremely well and is now through to the final 20. So if you want to dominate these contests, listen to the show, get those free entries or those special entries, and then do us proud, go all the way through and win. Colin, give us the details here. How are we looking for RotoViz Radio by proxy in the finals of the Fishbowl?
It's Jordan Samuel who has made his way in. The one thing, Sean, that I have to say that I'm sure I know Blair's gonna be very proud of this, but first running back was taken in round 12 in this particular draft by Jordan. So he did tweet that he's trying to win it. He did tag Peter Overzet, Pat Corain, Ben Gretsch, myself, and he said, and the rest of the zero RB sickos that are out there. So he's trying to win it for all of us. He's fighting the good fight. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, he held off to the 1207 in that one. Took James Conner, Tony Pollard, Naheem Hines, Gio Bernards, Ramondre Stevenson, among a few there. But Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, T Higgins, really really supercharging that roster. So yeah, we will likely talk a little bit more about that on Saturday show as we wish him luck. But Jordan, it's an awesome achievement to get there, if you bring it home, I think that it's a really cool story. I thought it was pretty cool when we seen that somebody who jumped in through our league has got there. So best luck into the final 20 there. We'll see how that plays out over the coming days as well. There's a lot of our listeners as well, a lot of our readers on the site that will be in, you know, Dynasty League finals and different redraft league finals, best ball finals this week. And it's been great on social media to see people sharing the teams that have advanced. So best luck to everyone who is out there. It'll be great to see some people taking home some of those championships. Sean even mentioned about Curtis been through to his best ball final as well. So should be a pretty exciting week to see how it all plays out. That is going to do it for today's edition of the show. And I mentioned on the previous one, but make sure you're following Blair on Twitter. It's at Am I the Real Blair. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. You can check out all of Sean's work as well as all of Blair's work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back on Thursday with another podcast, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.